Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to My Dad Wrote a Porno, The Footnotes Now. This is the last footnotes of the season, guys, and we're going out with a bang. Because we've got a double Oscar-winning national treasure, Dame Emma Thompson is with us.
Oh, hello. Welcome to my kitchen. And all my recipe books, upon which our microphones are at present, precariously balanced.
I don't know if it's a normal fixture, but I love the kind of array of pots and pans you've got going on.
No, it's not normal. We put them up there just for you.
Put them up
you.
Special, thought it was.
I thought, I just want to impress them with a batterie de cuisine. No, they're all up there, yeah.
It's There's like walking lots into of pots and pans. Steals pots and pans, it is.
This is about as professional as it normally is, though. This is what we do. We put the microphones on books and we talk away.
And yeah, you travel around the country talking to people about your dad's porn. I've met your dad.
This is what I was going to say.
You met the Albert Hall. You were in the Albert Hall. I mean, readers, you have to remember that these people were in the Albert Hall, which is enormous, a huge, bloody great theatre. And it's just them being brilliant with three microphones. I mean, it was like watching Fanny Craddock all over again. Just someone in the middle cooking, you know, just people talking. I call that extraordinary, an extraordinary achievement.
Oh, thanks.
Hats off. And I met your dad.
Well, this is, I mean, did he terrify you? Because he kind of ambushed you somewhat in your box.
He did. I mean, I got a feeling his shirt button might have been one too many undone at the front.
Right.
Yeah, he goes for quite a low V.
Went for quite a low décolleté.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't know, was there something nestling there?
Oh.
What a medallion, you think?
I don't know.
A third nipple?
Oh, now you're talking.
He doesn't do jewellery, actually, my dad. He is quite classic in that. Mm. Yeah, all man, he'd say.
He was very nice and he's brought me a poster of Belinda and her swollen nips.
There you go.
I mean, you can't ask for anything more than that.
That'll make some great shreddings for the guinea pig or something. So I'm sure that'll get framed.
Oh, no, our guinea pigs are in the back garden underneath the flagstones now.
Oh, no.
Yeah, we
I'm
had
so
Russian
sorry.
Dwarf hamsters. They're both buried. Yeah. All named after various forms of carbohydrate. Biscuit, oat cake. We didn't get another one because it was all too dramatic and tragic. Someone trod on Biscuit. I took Biscuit
the
to
end?
The vet. No, it wasn't quite the end. Okay. I took him to the vet, and the needle that the vet was going to push into it was longer than its poor little body. I thought, well, that's not going to work, is it? It's going to come out the other side. What are you going to do? Are you going to sew it to something? Anyway, we digress.
We do.
In a really major fashion.
We do, but I'm
impressed. You can always cut it, though, can't you?
Yeah.
So that's the thing. Anyway, I'm going to have another drink.
We do digress, but I am impressed because it sounds like Alice has done her research. She knew you had guinea pigs.
I've been in that back garden for a few hours before I knocked on the door. This is the first time that we've brought the podcast to somebody else's house. Usually we just do it at ours, so thank you for hosting.
That could also be a veiled kind of, oh, you couldn't be fucking bothered to get on a bus, you bitch. It could be that. I can't work it out because I don't know you well enough.
So it's thinly
I'm
veiled.
Trying to read your face. This is the first time we've had to leave the comfort of our own studio and come to somebody else's house. I don't know. I can't tell yet.
We're having fish pie for tea.
Yes.
This is great.
My old man, I found him in the afternoon with an apron on saying, well, I think there's 7 of us. Do you think that'll be enough? I said, yes, it's great. He's made a fish pie with a root vegetable topping.
I think you would have come to us before what happened last week, actually. I have a sneaking suspicion that something's gone to your head, Dame Emma. Tom.
Yes, that's right. That's right. I've had all the furniture slightly raised. So I'm an inch above you, as
like
you can
the twits.
See. Yeah. No, absolutely. Now, that was extraordinary, that experience. It was very touching, actually.
Yeah, congratulations, we
Thank
should
you.
Say.
You
yeah, know, amazing honour.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You caused quite a stir, though.
Why?
You wore trainers.
Yeah, but they were posh trainers.
They were posh trainers, and I couldn't believe the controversy that it stirred
up. Was there a lot of controversy? Of course, you have to understand that as well as not listening to any fucking podcast ever. Well,
Thank
yours,
you.
Obviously, but mostly not. I don't do social media, so I have no idea. So when these things are, oh my God, you caused a stir, I'm going, why?
Well, let me tell you, it was all the major outlets, and by that I mean Loose Women, and yeah, they couldn't get enough.
They had an 8-minute debate. On your
About
trainers.
Whether it was appropriate?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, that's so interesting.
We don't know what the result is. We'll get that for
Could
you.
Could you get back to me on
that? Yeah, we'll get back to you.
They're vegan. They were vegan trainers. Stella McCartney, Stan Smith trainers.
Come on now.
I got into terrible trouble wearing jeans in Cannes, though, once.
Did you?
I wore a very sparkly top. Look, if you're wearing a sparkly top, it doesn't matter what you're wearing underneath it. It was jeans, and the fashion police just went, oh my God, what is she doing? She's destroying
there.
The whole Cannes experience. Everybody is coming to see the beautiful actresses all dressed up, looking gorgeous. And look what she's doing. She's wrecking the whole thing.
Those Austrian journalists, though.
Yes. God.
Be more like Belinda and say, I don't give a shit.
I don't care.
Now, you not only have an Oscar for acting, you also have one for writing. So, as an expert, is my dad any good?
Mm-hmm. What a face.
Look.
Hands over eyes for the listeners.
We have to go.
You know
Sorry.
What? Yeah. You're selling out the Albert Hall. I think we can safely say he's a fucking genius.
I mean, he is.
Come on. How else have we got here?
It's a good point, actually. We don't give him enough credit, I don't think.
I don't think you do.
No.
It's a certain style.
It is. It's a very specific
kind of subsect
of writing. But he's owned it, very much so.
Oh, God, he has. He has. It's the regional sales aspect of it all. It's as though... Do you remember that film The Fly with Jeff Goldblum? When there were those two pods and there was Jeff and a fly and they got mixed up. Sorry. It's as though there was sort of a Jackie Collins and, like, Motoring for Beginners. Or, you know, they were in those pods and they just got whammed together, and that's what came out.
Yeah, like a freak scientific experiment
sort of thing, where various different writing styles got just churned up into
like a horrible Frankenstein's monster. Yeah.
He did zero research. He's never read an erotic novel, and I don't think it shows at all. I think he's really done well.
I don't think he needed to.
No.
Really, did he?
I think it would have really curtailed his creativity.
I do too. I think there's just something... He's just extrapolated in the most extraordinary way.
Mm.
And, I mean, all power to him, really.
Yeah.
My glass is empty. What the hell's going on? Daughter. My daughter and slave is sitting in the window. She's bouncing over to the... quite good four-door fridge.
Gaia reacted very quickly. Is that often a thing? You daughter and then a double clap and then...
I don't even normally have to say, you see? Don't even normally have to say the D word. It's just a flick of the eyebrow, you know?
The ice cube decanter's just champagne.
She's been really well trained. She knew how to make Bloody Marys at the age of what?
Three?
Six.
Bloody Marys at six?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Exactly. Thank you, dear.
Well, we should say it's Gaia that brought us all together.
Brought us all together. That's the point, is that... Guy, I would hear her sniggering in her bedroom. I go, what are you listening to? She says, have you heard of this? My dad wrote a porno. And I thought, that's a very funny title. Oh, my God. And then I listened to your first thingy. And I don't even know the language. I'm sorry. I'm nearly 60. For God's sake, have a heart, can't you? Jesus, the young are so... They're just so punitive. Judgmental. Anyway... So I listened to it and thought, well, this is just such a brilliant idea because as well as everything else, it does sort of take apart the whole notion of pornography and make it as ridiculous as it is because it is so, if you ever see pornography, it's so sort of industrial.
Yeah, clinical.
Do you know what I mean? Like, and clinical, weirdly sort of without any... It's so odd. And I think it's absolutely fantastic, therefore, because it's a kind of, you know, counterculture.
We had to kind of tear it to pieces, really, because...
Yeah.
Yeah, my dad was writing from a very kind of old-fashioned viewpoint, you know, one where women had breasts like pomegranates, for example. A world that never really
the
existed.
The pomegranate thing was just extraordinary to me. Because they're sharp.
Yes. Very.
Yes.
Very pointy.
They're sharp.
Yeah, the nib.
They're hard and sharp.
Yeah.
Mm, you know, very hard, actually.
Oh, Christ, I'm so hot. I'm sorry, I'm just taking... I'm just talking to you through my jumper. This is me talking to you through my jumper. Because my menopause is right in the middle. And let me tell you, girls and boys, it's no bloody fun. Don't talk about that enough. My father doesn't mention the fucking menopause in his pornography. No. He ought.
He ought to, actually.
It does produce a lot of heat.
Famously, yeah.
I think a sex scene, a menopausal sex scene, we should suggest it to him.
You did say something, though, very... I mean, not to make it serious, but when we met at the Royal Albert Hall gig, you said, it does feel like a moment when we should be saying, this is ridiculous. This has been this way for such a long time.
Exposing it for what it really
absolutely.
Is.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I agree. And that's what's so wonderful about it and why I salute you with all my heart. You know what? When my first film, okay, and this isn't going to be boring, I promise. Well, it might be. 17,000 people just switched off. Was called The Tall Guy, and there was a sex scene in it, and we had to be proper net because it was a comedy sex scene. You know, we were shagging on the piano, we were shagging in the breakfast things. There was shots of my ass with bits of toast stuck to it, and you know, there was two fucking days of being nude on set. And when the film came out, the campaign against pornography, which used to exist, I know that's a hilarious idea now. Oh my God, really? A campaign against pornography? That's so 19th century. Anyway, it did. And they said that if they were to show their children a sex scene, they would show that one because it was fun and funny and it was full of humour and it wasn't sort of... Because I noticed at the time that all sex scenes... Everyone was so
joyless.
Angry. Yeah. They're angry. Yeah, and you look at people's faces. You look at Basic Instinct, Sharon Stone and What's Her Face, doing this and they're
livid.
Just livid.
Mm. Yeah.
Livid. So cross. And you go, why is it cross?
Yeah. And it is silly. Like, it is funny. Like,
well, it's supposed to be fun.
All the time, sometimes, you know. Obviously, one does find one's face in a rictus of severity, you know. So Belinda does enjoy it. And that's a plus, I think. That's a plus. But at the same time, we don't really talk about it. We don't talk about it properly. And we sell it to the young. And,
with no emotional education attached to it at all.
None.
Which is the most important part of it all, really.
You know, I've gone into WH Smith's and I've taken all the magazines and I've just turned them around or put them on the top shelf or just gone to them and said, what on earth do you think you're doing?
Yeah.
This is ridiculous.
You're so right, though, because there's so much that we don't talk about. No. We don't even talk about pleasure, really. We don't talk about that from a young age. That's not a priority.
In fact, it's a bit shameful. So when you discover masturbation when you're little, you think, I don't know whether I should be doing, but it's really nice. The fact that we don't talk about pleasure and where pleasure comes from, because one of the places it doesn't immediately come from is your cunt or your dick. I'm sorry, but that's true.
Yeah.
Oh, my husband's just come in.
Talking about cunts.
What an untimely checking of the fish pie.
He has so left. But it's true, is it not?
Is.
Why don't we talk about pleasure?
But that's what's so great about my dad's books, in a way, is that actually all of the female characters have such agency and they are not shamed for their sexual...
No.
You know.
Well, they're celebrated.
Absolutely, yeah. And
the volume of it too isn't an issue.
Isn't an issue.
It's an issue. And the fact that my dad subconsciously somewhere decided to write about women.
Yeah.
Telling sex from a woman's perspective. That's really rare. I mean, how many porn films are from the female perspective?
None. And so therefore, there's a huge sort of generosity to it.
Mm. Well, sure.
It's incredibly charitable.
Let's unpackage that.
Well, but I think there is a generosity. I met your dad and he's a generous soul.
Mm. He's
generous
got three daughters.
With himself.
You know, he is. And my mum's an absolute... amazing firecracker of a feminist, has raised us all as great feminists. Not sure where my dad kind of fits into that, but actually, oddly, I think his books are quite feminist.
Yeah, you're right, absolutely.
He is one of the great feminist writers of our time.
Yes, you know, from Beauvoir to Rocky.
Yeah, there you go.
It's literally one tiny little
Don't ever.
Tiny little.
It's barely a step. It's a shuffle. It's
He's
just
basically
a
Bronte sister. He really is.
What I worry now is that's going to be his in his email signature. Emma Thompson, the greatest feminist author of our time.
Rocky Flintstone is a feminist icon. It's the feminist we all deserve, guys. I think we all agree.
Just going back to that, though, I read today that you once made a kind of sex and emotion handbook for Gaia when she was younger.
I did.
You did?
Because thinking about sex and the fact that we don't really talk about it, and that's what's so brilliant about this, it was about connecting the feeling that you have in your head, in your heart, in your stomach and in your groin, because they're all different feelings and they all need to somehow balance together before you take any action. What is right to do is wait until that happens.
Yeah.
It's like the slot machine, isn't it, when the four cherries come at once. Go and get that little book. The one I...
For podcast listeners, it would serve no purpose.
No, can I see it?
Go get it. We want to see it.
It might serve a purpose. You never know.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The first time Gaia messaged us, she also mentioned that you'd be keen to play someone in the Belinda Blinked movie, the Duchess.
Mm. Oh, yeah. I think I'm cut out for it.
And that you'd bring your own whip.
Have we got a whip? Have I? It's a very short one, isn't it? Oh, this is just stuff we shouldn't really be saying.
More of a truncheon.
I've got a paddle.
Oh, that'll do.
Will that do?
Paddles.
Do you mean like an auction paddle or like a sort of an oar?
You could use it as an auction paddle.
Kind of like a spatula type thing, yeah.
No, it's a sort of, you know, wooden paddle, that would do, wouldn't it?
Sure.
Okay. I think you'd be perfect.
In. Well, I mean, I don't want to be awkward here, but...
There's competition.
This being Hollywood, a younger actress has usurped you at the minute. Right. Daisy Ridley from Star Wars, she wants it.
She wants it.
She wants the Duchess, but
I'll
are you going to take
it?
Well, yeah, there you go.
Emma's got a paddle, so...
Yeah. I bet she hasn't got the props.
No.
I've got the props.
Do you mean that metaphorically? Like, I bet she hasn't got the props. I bet she hasn't got...
Yes, it's like my version of cojones.
Yeah. I've got my paddle.
That's a sort of actor's insult, isn't it? You don't have the props for this.
You don't have the range. That is good.
New insults for actors. Yeah.
A fight to the death, then, between you and Miss Ridley.
Me and Daisy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm on. I'm in.
I think you may win.
Yeah, I was going to say. The paddle, the damehood, it's in the bag.
The trainers, lie on her. That's what I'll do. I'll lie on her and beat her to death with my slippers. My furry slippers with bobbles on.
Very nice.
We have the book. Guy has brought the book
Gaia,
down.
You went and got the book. Okay, so this is a double... sided, you flip it and turn it upside down, it's a book of two halves.
There's emotional self-care. I feel like for the purpose of this podcast, we need to flip it and just do the sexual self-care.
So first thoughts on sexual self-care, ooey-oo. Does that just mean like oi-oi? Don't worry.
No, it's ooey-oo. Slightly spooky.
Oh, right. Because
It is a bit spooky. When you're little, it is a bit spooky.
Like, imagine
sex.
Doctor Who theme tune.
Yes.
Oh, right. I see.
Yeah.
It's quite a thick book. Is this full?
No.
Oh, right. I was going to say it's about 100 pages.
She was going to add to it, and I kept it away from her from adding to it.
Oh, wow.
Am I allowed to read this? Is this all right?
Sure.
I don't know if I'm ready for it. 32. Can I start by saying one thing? I think sex is... Well, maybe you should read it, Gaia.
Yeah, Gaia, you
I feel like
it.
You should read it.
Okay, so... Can I start by saying one thing? I think sex is a really shiz word. It's all S's and X's and sounds like a snake, not in a good way, and is hard and sibilant on the ear, and used to make me feel slightly queasy, even just hearing it. So for the purposes of these early writings, I'm going to choose another word. In fact, I'm going to make one up. Page turn. Large, colourful letters. Shavoom.
So much better, I feel.
Oh my gosh, everyone wants shavoom.
Shavoom.
Whoa. Everyone wants good shavoom.
Oh, yeah.
It also sounds a bit like it lives with chutzpah.
Like, yes. It's like a bit
Yiddish. Yes, there's something very Yiddish about it, which is actually quite right, because you could imagine that that culture would come up with a really great word for feeling very, very horny. Which, again, another word I hate, horny. Mm-hmm. Hate it.
I mean, we've got just about shavoom, but there are certain feelings to look out for. And in this patch of life, the really crucial feeling is the icky sense of unease that we get when there is shavoomy stuff floating around that we are not comfortable with.
There you go.
Cue the...
Oh.
Actually, what it looks like is a crime scene drawing of a dead... of when you draw around a body.
When I presume your first boyfriend was a gingerbread man.
He was ginger. And I think you said on this body scan mark where you think you feel your icky sensation, and I don't know how old I was, but I've drawn crosses where very high up, like if the
hairline, your hairline was having a bad time.
Hairline, nipple. Belly button.
Spleen.
Probably said spleen.
And the spleen was reacting very badly.
What looks like the pubic bone. It's not
but
the
you feel
the bone.
It in parts of your body. You don't.
Your thigh was going wild.
Oh, here we are. We've got the title of this chapter is pornography.
Oh, this is great. Come
on. Now, as you know, readily available on iPhones, computers, and pretty much anywhere, it is likely you will come into contact with it or already have done so. You've got in the brain, again, the dead body, there's brain matter, where you said lots of reaction. Mm-hmm. In the heart is no reaction. The icky feeling in the stomach, which looks like the head of a cauliflower. And then where I assume you think the genitalia is, just says lots of reaction.
Although it is smooth like an action man. There's nothing hanging
all
down
I'm
or
from
going
this
in.
Is that actually Emma has as much knowledge of the female anatomy as my dad?
Actually me and Rocky together.
Apparently the kidneys when you're aroused are doing a lot.
Hey, you can feel it there as well, Al.
And you've called pornography the kingdom of ick. But I think that my dad wrote a porno excludes. I think
do we sit outside of that?
You guys very much. Shavoom is involved in that.
I'm talking about all that stuff you see online and the old porn.
Yes, it's just kingdom of ick is what we're going to call normal pornography.
Oh, that's the term that's been coined in this book.
So it's if anyone does anything, says anything, implies anything, shows anything, suggests anything that makes you feel ick, move away, get away, say no thank you, or even just no without the thank you, walk away, because ick is an unbelievably useful emotion. Ick means no.
Yes.
Simply really.
I think
Emma,
that's fantastic.
This
I
is the best so book ever.
Ick means no.
That's so true. Ick means
no. Ick means no. Just go with it.
And the last part of this chapter, again, the body scan is becoming even more
radioactive.
Somebody's dyed their pubic region bright pink.
It's boundaries. God, you're so cruel.
Somebody has, it's okay, so it's vajazzling if you were to dye your pubes pink is what I'm looking at right now. And it just is shavoom. When the mind, the heart, and the centre of shavoom are connected, then you are safe. Safe to make a decision about how you are going to act. And that's how you ended the sexual.
So good. That's so true. And actually, it's really simple.
It's so simple.
You just need the four things to be in line.
You need the things to be in line, like the cherries in the, you know, you just go, it's all right. But you always know because your instincts are so, so finely tuned. They're the subtle gauge by which we should all be allowed to live our lives.
Ick in the left kidney means no.
Ick anywhere means no, darling.
Right, good.
Ick anywhere.
Particularly ick in the hairline.
Yeah. Ick in the eyebrow.
Earlobe.
Just say
anywhere.
No.
Just say no.
Oh, that's brilliant.
I love that you did that. That is such an amazing gift.
And how old were you when you got that?
The bottle down.
That's the third bottle, that's everybody.
Fine. I think
I just want you to know that I'm in the company of three alcoholics. I'm just saying that quietly.
Yes. Oh, I think I would have been about probably 10.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Shavoom.
Shavoom.
It's going to be in book 9.
It's a shavoom story. It's a story of shavoom.
Rocky can have that word.
Okay. It'll be in it. It'll be in it immediately. He'll be rewriting.
Shavoom, thought Belinda, as her pomegranate-like breasts pursed from her from her complicated bra.
Oh, honestly. A harness.
That ended up literally like a truss.
It's kind of like what my dad's doing, though. Like, if you laugh at something, you can suddenly talk about it way more freely.
Absolutely. It's what Mark Twain said. He said it's about humbug, actually. He said we can get at things with words and with all sorts of way, but only, he says, this is the phrase, only laughter will blow it to rags and atoms at a blast.
Oh, that's lovely.
Yeah.
He was good.
He was fucking good, wasn't he?
He wrote some very good porn.
So really, Rocky's been sent to save us all, to smash...
I think the inevitable conclusion to which we must all arrive. There's no choice. We are being cornered here by our own arguments.
Yeah.
Into acknowledging him as the saviour.
He's here to smash gender norms.
I don't know. You know how some people come to... It's like Jesus. Didn't know why he was here, if you believe that sort of thing. But he was here to do God's work, but he was unaware. So I think maybe Dad's been sent to do this, but he doesn't.
Are you calling him the sexual messiah?
He is the sexual messiah, yeah. Belinda's his Mary Magdalene. Well, Emma, thank you so much for outing yourself as a Belinka. This has been so much fun.
Well, thank you for having me and making the desperate trek.
Honestly.
I now see to another location.
So far north, the altitude.
For your podcast, yeah. And for making such good use of my cookbooks, which I'm now going to cull in a vicious fashion.
All I would say is it's a shame we didn't cover any of the big topics, but
yeah,
vacuous,
yes, because
vacuous.
This was, oh, just so pointless. Yeah. But fun, no. You know, and that's life, isn't it?
Keep it shallow, that's what I say.
Yeah. Shallow like a puddle.
Shallow thrust.
Emma Thompson, everybody.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.